After the beautiful celebration of Rath Yatra in Purushottam Kshetra of Jagannath Puri, for 9 days, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan throughout the day in the Gundicha temple. The Jagannath temple is called Nilachala, and it is none different than Dwarka Dham. And the Gundicha temple is called Sundarachala, and it is none different than Vrindavan. Throughout the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates were dancing and chanting before the beautiful forms of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. And during the day, sometimes they would go to the lake of the name Indrajumna. And there they would have wonderful pastimes of love with one another. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would invoke the various devotees to have contests of splashing with one another. Advaitacharya would splash with Nityananda Prabhu, and Swarup Damodar with Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Murari Gupta with Vasudev Dutt, Srivas Thakur with Gadadhar Pandit, and Sarvabhoma with Bhattacharya with Ramananda Rai. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai splashing each other like little children, he began to laugh in great amusement. And he spoke to Gopinath Acharya and said, "What is this that we see? Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya are two very grave and learned aristocratic personalities, and they are playing like little children. They have lost all of their gravity." And Gopinath Acharya responded, "It is because they have received a drop of your causeless mercy. In their ecstasy of love, they have forgotten all of their material designations." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Advaitacharya to take his form of Sheshanaga. And Advaitacharya laid on his back in the waters in the mood of Sheshanaga. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mood of Vishnu laid upon him. And in this way they were floating across the beautiful lake of Indrajumna, performing the pastime of Sheshashayi Vishnu. At that time it was the time for the Hera Panchami festival. Hera means to see, and Panchami means five. So the fifth day after Rath Yatra, this festival is celebrated. And Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, very much wanted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find great happiness and pleasure. So he called Kashi Mishra, who was one of the superintendents of the Jagannath temple, and he explained to him that we should make this Hera Panchami festival so opulent, so ornate, with such celebrations, even greater than the Rath Yatra of Jagannath, so that Lord Chaitanya and his devotees are very happy and pleased. We should have so much wonderful prasad and so many nice decorations and so much music and so many dancers. So all arrangements were made for a great, great festival. And then Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, in the form of her beautiful murti in the Jagannath temple, was taken out on a beautiful, beautiful palanquin, bedecked with all sorts of valuable decorations. And Lakshmi was decorated with valuable, valuable ornaments. And what happens during this is Lakshmi comes out and she is feeling separation from Lord Jagannath because he has been away from the Jagannath temple for so many days. It is said that before Jagannath leaves the temple, he asks Lakshmi's permission to leave for one day, but he's already been gone for 5 days. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Swarup Damodar Goswami that why didn't Lord Jagannath take Lakshmi with him to Gundicha temple? And Swarup Damodar Goswami replied that the Gundicha temple is none different than Vrindavan. And Lakshmi Devi, because her mood of worship is with great awe and reverence, she identifies herself as a queen and her lord Narayan as king. Therefore, she has no access to go to Vrindavan. She cannot enter Vrindavan. Vrindavan is only for those who have the highest opulence of the realization of spontaneous love. And the only goddesses of fortune that can enter Vrindavan are the gopis, because their love for Krishna is the highest, the purest, and the sweetest. It is unconditional. They do not love him because he is the Lord. They simply love him because of his natural good qualities, transcendental loving qualities. And Lord Chaitanya asked, why does Lakshmi appear to be angry? And Swarup Damodar Goswami explained that it is the nature of a young lady when she is in love to be angry with her lover when she is neglected by him. And with these words the procession began. And the procession went to the door of the temple. And then Gundicha. And then what happened is the maidservants of Lakshmi began to arrest the servants of Jagannath. They tied them by the hands and they fined them and they made them fall down at the feet of Lakshmi Devi. And they began to chastise them and make so many jokes against them. And then they took the rath cart, the maidservants of Lakshmi, and started beating it with sticks because it took Jagannath away from Lakshmi Devi. And in this way, this wonderful pastime of love was taking place in Jagannath Puri. And all the servants of Jagannath had to surrender to Lakshmi Devi and beg apologies and promise they would bring Jagannath back the next day. Meanwhile, Srivas Thakur began to explain in the mood of Narada Muni how Lakshmi was the supreme goddess of fortune, and he was saying, Why does Jagannath go to Vrindavan? Said that, what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is just a place which has some trees and some flowers and some leaves, and there is some grass and pastures, and there is some peacock feathers laying on the ground. What is the opulence of Vrindavan compared to Vaikuntha? Why? Why should Jagannath want to leave the beautiful opulence of the goddess of fortune to go to this simple forest of Vrindavan? Said, your gopis are engaged in boiling milk and churning it into yogurt, but my mistress, the goddess of fortune, she sits on a throne made of jewels and gems. Srivas Thakur, who was enjoying the mood of Narada Muni, thus made jokes. hearing him, all the personal servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas that your nature is exactly like Narada Muni. I think the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulence is influencing you. But Swarup Damodar Goswami is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He does not even know what opulence is, for he is simply absorbed in pure devotional service. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami responded to the accusations of Srivas. My dear Srivas, please hear me with attention. You have forgotten the transcendental opulence of Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan Dham is made of transcendental touchstone. Its entire surface is the source of all valuable jewels, and the Chintamani stone is used to decorate the lotus feet of the maidservants of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. In Vrindavan, there are cows that fulfill all desires, kamadhenus, and their number is unlimited. They graze from forest to forest and deliver only milk. The people want nothing else. In Vrindavan, the natural speech of the people sounds like music, and their natural motion resembles a dance. The water in Vrindavan is nectar, and the Brahma Jyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. The gopis are also goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. The damsels of Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees, and the land is made of transcendental touchstone. The water is all nectar. The talking is singing. The walking is dancing. And the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. The anklets of the damsels of Brajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone, and the trees are wish-fulfilling trees, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. There are also wish-fulfilling cows, kamadhenus, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. Those cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavan, and thus Vrindavan's opulence is blissfully exhibited. When Srivas Thakur heard this most extraordinary explanation of the supreme opulence of Vrindavan, he went into a trance of ecstasy and began to dance, began to slap the palms of his hands under his arms. And in this way he began to laugh and laugh as he was dancing. And hearing the glories of Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in ecstatic love. And he began to say to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "Go on singing, go on singing." And as Swarup Damodar Goswami was describing the glories of Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and danced and danced. At that time there were 4 Sankirtan parties. And they just continued to dance in such a way that the whole day went by and they were dancing. And all the 4 Sankirtan parties became completely exhausted. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his enthusiasm of ecstatic love doubled and he danced with even more enthusiasm. And remembering the beautiful qualities of Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani that he actually assumed the form of Srimati Radharani as he was dancing. And not very many devotees could actually witness this great wonder. But Lord Nityananda, from a distant place, could see that Lord Chaitanya had taken the form of Sri Radharani and was dancing and dancing in the Vrindavan of the Gundicha temple. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu began to offer prayers and worship the Lord in this most extraordinary forms. In this way, the dancing went on and on and on, and the devotees, completely exhausted, could not sing or dance anymore, but Lord Chaitanya continued dancing and dancing and dancing. And Swarup Damodar Goswami finally stopped his singing, but Lord Chaitanya continued dancing. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami approached Lord Gaurasundar and told him, "The devotees are very fatigued. Please be merciful." So ultimately, for the pleasure of his devotees, Lord Chaitanya stopped dancing. And they had wonderful, wonderful prasad. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then approached the residents of Kulinagram and told them that in your village, it is very famous for making very good, strong silk ropes. And Lord Chaitanya brought some of the ropes that are used to lift Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra and carry them to the carts. And he showed them how the ropes were all broken. He said, "Every year I am giving you this instruction. You should have first-class, pure silk, very, very strong ropes and bring them for this Pandu Vijay festival of carrying Lord Jagannath to his carts." Every day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while residing in Puri, would rise early in the morning to have the beautiful darshan of Lord Jagannath. He would stand back at the Garuda Stamba, and there he would have beautiful darshan of Jagannath. After this, he would wait until the Upala Bhog offering to Jagannath, and then he would bring Jagannath's prasad and he would go to Siddha Bakula. This was his everyday regulation. Siddha Bakula was the place where Haridas Thakur resided. How it became Siddha Bakula is a wonderful story. Haridas Thakur was given this place by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Haridas Thakur was so humble that when he came to Puri, he felt that being born in an untouchable society and considering himself the lowest of the low, he did not think that it was proper for him to enter into the Jagannath temple. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Haridas laying on the road in the dust. He was too humble to even approach the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and personally arranged a nice little bhajan kutir in a very secluded forest where Haridas could, while he was chanting the holy names of the Lord, he could see the chakra on top of Jagannath temple. And the chakra of the temple is none different than the deity. If you see the chakra, it is as good as seeing the deity in the temple. And if you worship and offer your obeisances to the chakra, it is as good as actually worshiping the deity. So in this way, he allowed Haridas Thakur to see Jagannath to his heart's content in the form of the chakra on the temple. And there in that secluded garden, Haridas Thakur would be immersed in chanting 300,000 names of Lord Krishna every day. And then Lord Chaitanya would embrace him to give him his prasad, to have kirtan with him. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to his own place, the Gambira, and he would chant japa on his beads, and he would count the rounds he would chant every day. And at that time, Advaitacharya would come to Lord Chaitanya's abode, and he would bring paraphernalia for worship, and he would begin to offer worship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offer beautiful prayers. And after he completed his worship, on one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took all the puja paraphernalia that Advaita had just used, and he started taking that and worshipping Advaitacharya. And he was chanting continuously a mantra, and that mantra was, whoever you are, but I offer my obeisances unto you. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to make very, very funny sounds with his mouth. And in this way, he would cause Advaitacharya to start to laugh. And the loving relationship between Advaitacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is greatly glorified by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The devotees who had come from Bengal would stay for the whole 4 months of Chaturmasya. After celebrating Rath Yatra, they would celebrate so many festivals with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya loved to engage his devotees in celebrating the various festivals in honor of the Lord's wonderful pastimes. They would celebrate Janamastami, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally arrange for all of his devotees to become dressed up as cowherd boys, gopas and gopis, like that. And he would bring them turbans, and one of the devotees, his name was, I believe, Kanai Kutia, he dressed up as Nanda Maharaj. And another devotee named Jagannath Mahiti, he dressed up as Mother Yashoda. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see them, he would, with tears of love in his eyes, he would offer obeisances and start honoring them as his mother and father. And one day, Advaitacharya, during this wonderful festival, where everyone was dressed up as cowherd boys, in the mood of cowherd boys, he said to Lord Chaitanya, if you are really a cowherd boy, here is a rod. Let me see how you can wield it. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that rod with a stick and started wheeling it by twirling it around. And he was twirling it so fast, it was like a firebrand. He was twirling it above his head, and then he was twirling it on his right side and his left side and between his legs and behind him and in front of him. He was twirling it and twirling it and twirling it, and all the devotees were very happy. They were all laughing like anything. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, just to prove he was also a proper cowherd boy, he picked up a rod and started twirling and twirling in front of him and behind him and on both sides of him and over his head and under his legs and jumping and dancing while they were twirling. And in this way, Gaur Nitai were giving great pleasure to his devotees. The festival came called Vijayadashami. And Lord Chaitanya dressed all of his devotees up as monkey soldiers. And then he dressed up as Hanuman. And in the mood of Hanuman, he became fiercely angry. And he picked up a branch from a tree as a club, started climbing over walls, and he started crying out in great, great rage, Ravana, Ravana, you dog! You have kidnapped the goddess Sita, and today I will kill you and I will kill all your family members. And when the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya so sincerely immersed in this wonderful mood of Hanuman, they were all began to dance in ecstatic love, chanting the holy name. Also celebrated Uttana Ekadasi, and they celebrated Rasa Yatra, the wonderful festival of Krishna's Ras Lila. And after the month of Kartik ended, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bid farewell to all of his devotees. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bidding farewell to them, there was a great mood of love, and love is very deeply expressed when there is an imminent sense of separation from the object of one's love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the devotees to come every year for this Chaturmasya to celebrate Rath Yatra in his company. But as he was seeing them off, he was giving transcendental instructions to each of his devotees. First he spoke to Sri Advaita Chandra, and he instructed Advaitacharya with these most sacred words: give Krishna consciousness to everyone, even the most lowly and fallen, even the chandalas. Srila Prabhupada explained that this transcendental message to Advaitacharya is actually the message that is the basis of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that everyone, without restriction, be given the opportunity to perfect their lives in Krishna consciousness. And then he spoke to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and he said, go to Bengal, and without any restriction, manifest devotional service for everyone. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Nityananda Prabhu many assistants to assist him, such as Gadadhar Das and Abhiram Thakur and Dhananjay Pandit and Sundarananda Prabhu and many such great personalities who we will discuss in the very near future. And then he spoke to Srivas, and he instructed him that you perform Sankirtan every day. And you should know that whenever you perform Sankirtan, I shall personally come and dance. And you will see my dancing, but no one else will see my dancing. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he told Nityananda Prabhu to go to Bengal, he also explained that whenever you dance in kirtan with your devotees, I will personally come there and be with you just to see your dance. And he told Srivas Thakur that you should bring this prasadam to my mother. And when you go there, you should tell her that whenever she offers something to me in great motherly love, I personally appear to accept those offerings. She internally understands these things, but externally she is not willing to accept it. But you explain to her the story of the time when she cooked so many nice vegetables. And Lord Chaitanya explained exactly what vegetables they were. And she began to cry that these are just the preparations that Nimai would love to take. But Nimai is gone. He has taken sannyas. And she offered them to the deity of Gopal. And I personally came there and ate all the offerings. And when she looked, she saw the plate was empty. And she was thinking, what happened? Why there is nothing on the plate? And she was so bewildered by ecstatic love, she started to think that I have made an offense. I offered an empty plate to the deities. I forgot to put any food on it. So then she went back to the kitchen and she filled the plates again and had Ishan clean the place and she offered it again. This is a regular thing that happens in Sachi Devi's house. But you assure her that these wonderful miracles take place because whenever she offers me food, I personally come there to partake of it. And you tell Sachi Devi that she is my mother, and her love for me is my very life and soul. And because of my madness, I have taken sannyas. But assure her that she is never separated from me. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured that he will always be present to watch whenever Nityananda Prabhu dances, to dance whenever Srivas Thakur has Sankirtan, and to partake of the food whenever Sachi Mata would cook. And he also explained how he would, whenever Raghava Pandit cooks, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always be there to accept those offerings. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, these are the four places that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always manifests himself. And then he turned to Raghava Pandit. And he explained to the devotees, just hear the glories of the devotion of Raghava Pandit. How he worships the deity of the Lord is unparalleled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to embrace Raghava Pandit, and then he extolled his glories to all the devotees. He said, Raghava Pandit, he has gardens in his house where wonderful coconuts and other fruits are growing. But if he hears that there's a superior quality fruit growing somewhere else, he will go or send other people to go miles and miles and miles away just to get back to offer it to the deity. Here is an example. He has thousands of coconuts, first-class coconuts growing in his residence, but he had heard that there was a special kind of coconut. And 6 miles away he went to get that coconut. And he brought it all the way back. And he had it clipped. And the way he would offer the coconuts was, first he would clip the top and offer the juice. And then after offering it, and the deity partakes of it, he said, generally, whenever he offers it, he says, I eat it. Usually there's nothing left. And Raghava Pandit understands this. But sometimes I drink it, but then I put something back just so it will be Mahaprasad. And then he will take that coconut and he will crack it open and he will scoop out the pulp and he will offer that again. This was his personal reciprocation with the deity. But one time, the servant brought these coconuts from long distance away and paid high price for them too. Very costly. And the servant was a little late and he clipped the coconuts and was bringing them into the deity room. And this servant somehow or other touched the ceiling on top of the door. And Raghava Pandit saw this. And he was thinking, that when people walk on the floor, the dust of their feet goes on the floor. And sometimes a breeze comes and blows that dust to the ceiling. And therefore, when my servant touched the ceiling, he was touching people's feet. And then he touched the coconut. Therefore, these coconuts cannot be offered. So he took these very, very costly coconuts that he had to go 6 miles to get, and he threw them over the wall, being useless. And then he went and got more coconuts, same kind, to offer to the deity. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a common man will think that Raghava Pandit has some cleaning phobia. That he has some eccentric tendency to keep everything so clean, very much afraid of germs. But it is not like that. This was his standard, that the deity of Krishna should have only the ultimately, absolutely best possible offering with the best care. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in our deity worship in all of our temples, we should very much consider the standards of Raghava Pandit and try to apply them as far as possible to our own puja for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Shivananda Sen and he told him that you should take care of Vasudev Datta. You should manage his funds, because Vasudev Datta, whatever money he gets, he just immediately spends. He doesn't consider anything about his family maintenance or anything like that. So you should help him. He's so charitable. And then he also told Shivananda Sen that every year you should take the responsibility of bringing all the devotees from Bengal, Navadvip, Srikanda, Kulinagram, Shantipur, to Jagannath Puri. You should take this responsibility and very carefully serve all the Vaishnavas and make all the arrangements for them to come to see me every year. Because by serving the devotees of the Lord, one gains the most intimate mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak to the residents of Kulinagram, headed by Satyaraj Khan and Ramananda. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in Kulinagram there was a very great devotee named Gunaraj Khan, and he composed a beautiful poem. And in this poem there was a verse, Nanda Nandana Krishna Mora Prananath. And this verse was so excellent. It imbibed such pure, unalloyed devotion, the essence of bhakti, that simply by hearing this verse one attains love of God. And because Gunaraj Khan has glorified Krishna in this way, the son of Nanda Maharaj is my life and soul. Therefore, all the residents of Kulinagram are so dear to the Lord. He said, every resident of Kulinagram, even the dogs, even the insects, will achieve Krishna's special mercy and are most dear to me because Gunaraj Khan has offered this beautiful prayer to the Lord. Nanda Nandana Krishna Mora Pranana. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to exhibit through this wonderful, wonderful glorification how when a devotee surrenders to the Lord and glorifies the Lord and preaches the glories of the Lord, not only is that devotee tremendously benefited, but all those who have any relationship to that devotee. On the contrary, we remember the story of Ramchandra Khan, how he committed a great offense to Nityananda Prabhu. Also, he committed a great offense to Srila Thakur Haridas. And because of his offense, not only was he completely ruined and severely punished, but everyone in his entire village was exploited, plundered, and put into a miserable situation. So what we do in our life not only affects ourselves, but all those who are around us. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to express that a devotee should know that by surrendering to Krishna, not only him, but his relatives, his family members for generations in the past and generations in the future, and the whole village and society around him becomes dear to the Lord, simply because of his sincere surrender. Then Satyaraj Khan inquired from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I am a very fallen and lowly householder. What is my duty and how can I advance in spiritual life? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an immortal instruction which applies to all those in the Grihastha ashram. He said, you should constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And you should always serve Krishna and become the servant of the Vaishnavas. Satyaraj Khan inquired, how do I recognize who is a Vaishnava? And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord is a Vaishnava. The holy name of the Lord is so powerful because Krishna himself has directly incarnated within the sound of his name. And there are no hard and fast rules for the chanting of these holy names. And if one even once chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, that one utterance of Krishna's name will remove the effects of all sins that we have performed in all our previous lives. This is the power of Krishna's name. And if one chants the holy name of the Lord just once offenselessly, not as only is one completely cleared of all past sins, but the ultimate perfection of pure love of Krishna is awakened within his heart, which is the ultimate joy, the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. And it is explained herein how it is very important to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master in order to learn the proper process of how to chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. But the holy name of the Lord is not dependent simply on the ritual of initiation. It is ultimately dependent on the sincerity of the person who chants. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard how Narada Muni, in his Pantaratriki Vidhi, has explained the importance of worship of the deity. And Srila Prabhupada says, deity worship is especially very, very important for householders because it helps us to regulate our life. It helps us to fix our senses in the service of the Lord. And especially it helps us to remain very, very pure and clean in our lifestyle. But Jiva Goswami describes how in all the offerings within deity worship, in all the rituals and sacrifices within the Vedas, the chanting of the holy name should come before and after every ritual and every offering. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, the sum and substance of all of our spiritual mass advancement is based on how we are chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Satyaraj Khan that there are 9 processes of devotional service. But simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord sincerely and offenselessly, we perfect all the 9 processes of devotional service. And a Vaishnav is one who has taken shelter of the chanting of Krishna's holy name. should always serve such devotees with great respect. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to the residents of Srikanda, Mukunda, Sarakar, Raghunandan, and Narahari. And he asked Mukunda, "You are the father of Raghunandan. Or is it that Raghunandan is your father?" Now we all know that Mukunda was Raghunandan's father by birth. Mukunda replied, "Raghunandan is my father because it is through his inspiration that our whole family has become serious about Krishna consciousness." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear this. And he said, "Yes, one who inspires us to take to Krishna consciousness and practice Krishna consciousness, he is our father. He is our spiritual master." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the glories of Mukunda as if he had five mouths. He says, "Mukunda is a householder and he is a physician. In fact, he is the physician for the king. And one time the king was sitting on a very high raised platform. And he called Mukunda Sarakar and began to discuss with him various medical subjects. And the sun began to become very hot. So one servant of the king brought a peacock fan to shade the king's head from the sun. And when Mukunda Sarakar saw the peacock fan, he remembered Krishna. And he went into ecstasy. And he fell unconscious. And he fell all the way down onto the ground from the raised platform. And when the king saw this, he became very worried that Mukunda may have lost his life. So the king personally climbed down from the raised platform down to the ground. And he asked, 'Are you all right? How is your health?' And Mukunda, like a real Vaishnav, will never say, 'Oh, I was in ecstatic love and I fell.'" Devotees never reveal their ecstasies in this way. They always take humble position. So Mukunda said to the king, "I have a disease that is something like epilepsy, and sometimes I faint like this." But the king, who was very learned, could understand the extraordinary spiritual realizations within the heart of Mukunda Sarakar. And he sent him home. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to glorify the standard of the worship of Raghunandan. When Raghunandan Thakur was even a little child, his father began him in serving the deity of their house, which was Gopinath. One time, the king was called for Mukunda, and he wasn't able to be there for the offering to the deity. So he told his little child, Raghunandan, that when your mother brings the offering, you bring it on and you pray to the Lord to accept the offering. So Raghunandan came on with the offering and he prayed to the Lord, "Please accept." So the Lord accepted, as he ordinarily accepts. He accepts the bhakti, the devotion within the offering. And when he accepts your devotion, all that food becomes mahaprasad, the Lord's mercy. Raghunandan was a child and he did not understand all these very high spiritual sciences. So he began to cry. And the Lord asked, "Why you are crying?" He said, "Because you have not eaten anything and my father has instructed me to feed you. But I have eaten. I have eaten through my glance." And Raghunandan weeping. I don't understand how you eat through your glands. All I know is all the food is still here. So the Lord ate all the food, and Raghunandan was very happy. And he came off with empty plate. And mother said, "Where is the Mahaprasad?" He said, "The Lord has eaten." So when Mukunda returned home, the mother said, "I think you should have a talk with your son. There was nothing on the plate. He brought it out of the altar and there was nothing on it." Mukunda Sarakar understood his son was a very special devotee. So he asked his son, "You offer again some ladu." And he was hiding in a secret place watching. And as Raghunandan was offering the ladu, he began to cry, "My Lord, why are you not eating?" And right before Mukunda's eyes, he saw Gopinath pick up the ladu and eat it. And it is explained that Raghunandan, as he grew older, he became the pujari of the Gopinath temple. He served the deity with such devotion. There was a lake just outside of that temple. And every day there was a tree near that lake. Every single day, two beautiful kadamba flowers would grow on that tree throughout the year for Raghunandan to offer to the deity. In this way, material nature herself was making so many wonderful arrangements just to assist this devotee in worshiping the Lord. And Narahari Sarakar, he was such a great devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about him. Narahari Adi Ikari Chamaradulaya. His special service was to fan Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with chamara. And Narahari, he also was very famous, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never allow anyone to sing his glories directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Narahari would compose beautiful songs glorifying the Lord as the Supreme God Krishna, and he would sing it right before the Lord, and the Lord would allow him to sing. He had a very, very, very special position. And later on, of course, we know Narahari Sarakar became Shiksha Guru for Srinivasa Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu. Very, very great devotee. And he wrote several wonderful books, Krishna Bhajanamrita and others, which give such deep and significant guidance to the devotees even to this day. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed each of these three family members. He told Mukunda that you should earn material and spiritual wealth. And he told Raghunandan that you should worship the Lord in the temple. And he told Narahari that you should live here with me, with my devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explains that there are three basic instructions for three different kinds of devotees that Lord Chaitanya here revealed. One is when one is living at home with a family, one should stay at home. And one should be exemplary by practicing Krishna consciousness and performing his natural profession, and by keeping good sadhana and good association, he can offer the fruits of his actions to support the rest of society in Krishna consciousness. And there are also brahmacharis who remain, or grihasthas also, who live in the temple and who worship the deity and manifest a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere for people to come to the temple and be enlightened. And there are also those who should live in the society of devotees and simply preach. Travel and preach the glories of the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada explains that all these three categories should not have any conflict, but they should have perfect respect for one another, knowing that they are all respected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they should be in harmony together to spread the glories of the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya instructed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his brother Vidya Vachaspati. He said the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the age of Kali Yuga has descended in two forms, as wood and as water. As wood, he has appeared as Lord Jagannath, and as water, he has appeared as the holy river Ganges. And anyone who worships these two forms of the Lord will become purified, and love of God will awaken within their heart. And he instructed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you should always worship Lord Jagannath here in Puri. And Vidya Vachaspati, whose residence was near Navadvip, he told him, you should always worship the holy river Ganges. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Murari Gupta and he embraced him. As if he had five mouths, he began to glorify the devotion of Murari Gupta. He said, Murari Gupta, your humility is so deep and so pure, it perturbs my mind. And then he began to explain to the devotees that Murari Gupta, from his very childhood, was a very great devotee of Lord Ramchandra. But one day I told him that Murari, Brajendra Nandana Kumar Krishna, he is the essence of all incarnations. His pastimes are the very culmination of all sweetness. His abode is the ultimate opulence of spontaneous love. It is only Krishna that awards such intimacy amongst his devotees. So kindly join me and chant the holy names of Krishna and worship the land of Vrindavan. Murari Gupta took the order of Lord Chaitanya upon his head. But Lord Chaitanya explained that that night, Murari Gupta, he was weeping and crying. He could not sleep all night. He was thinking, I have already surrendered my head at the lotus feet of Raghunath, Lord Ramchandra. How is it possible for me to ever take it back and give it to anyone else? That night, Murari Gupta, his heart had fell in abyss of such spiritual anxiety that he was praying that his life would leave him. And the next morning, Murari Gupta came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with tears in his eyes and his body trembling in ecstasy, he told Lord Chaitanya that I have tried all night long, I tried to take the name of Krishna, to worship Krishna. But the name of Ram continually appears within my heart. He said, it is impossible for me to give up the worship of my beloved Ramchandra. But at the same time, you are my spiritual master and you have given me an instruction. And to not follow the instruction of the spiritual master one's makes one's life a void, a waste. So I know not what to do. With your permission, shall I give up my life? When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he became ecstatic. And with tears in his eyes, he began to embrace Murari Gupta. And he said, "You are Hanuman, the greatest of all devotees of Lord Ram. And your love for Ram is pure and chaste. I tested you. I tested you to see what kind of devotion and chastity you had for your worshipable Lord. And you have gloriously passed the test. And I am most pleased with you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Murari Gupta and in this way explained how the Lord appears in different forms to different devotees. And in each of these relationships, it is perfect and complete. Then the Lord turned to Vasudev Dutt. And Vasudev Dutt, when the Lord saw him, he began to cry. And he began to glorify Vasudev Dutt as if he had 1,000 mouths. He said that Vasudev Dutt, his devotion is so great that I have come to this world only for him. I am his property. He can sell me anywhere he wants. And then Vasudev Dutt began to speak. He began to cry in a mood of great compassion. And he said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have the power to do anything you so desire. I have one wish, and it is burning in my heart. And I beg you to please fulfill this wish." Lord Chaitanya responded that whatever you desire, Krishna must fulfill. He said, "When I see the conditioned souls in this universe suffering the repetition of birth and death due to forgetfulness of your lotus feet, this brings unbearable pain to my heart. Therefore, my one and only longing in life is let me accept the sinful reactions and all the karma of all living beings in this universe, and let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually, but bring them all back to the spiritual world to enjoy pastimes with you." When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees heard the genuine compassion of Vasudev Dutt, they began to weep and cry in great ecstasy of appreciation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he extolled that your compassion is none different than that of Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, I can understand that you are Prahlad Maharaj. Because if you remember, Sri Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Narsingadev when he was offered any benediction, that let me remain always in this world to try to enlighten the fools and rascals in the process of devotional service. He did not want to go to Vaikuntha because he knew what a dear service it was to the Lord to preach and enlighten others to be Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in his last days, his body was so emaciated, he could not eat, he could not drink, he could not walk, he could hardly see. Any movement, the doctor said, would have created unbearable pain for anyone. But Srila Prabhupada, he asked his devotees while he was in Bombay and Vrindavan, he said, "Take me to London to preach." And the devotees were, "What? London? How can you go to London? Just to bring you to the bathroom is an almost impossible task." And the doctor said, "He cannot survive. He will not survive." But Srila Prabhupada said, "My life is to preach. Like a soldier, let me die in the battlefield preaching Krishna consciousness to the conditioned souls." Srila Prabhupada gave his life only for that purpose of preaching. And even the way he left this world, he went to London and he preached in London. With whatever capacity of energy he used it all simply to enliven and inspire the devotees to push forward this movement. We have to give up certain things we like to do in order to help in this great preaching mission. But think of Srila Prabhupada. In that condition, he came all the way to London just to inspire the devotees to continue this great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Continue preaching the message. The message that can save all humanity. The congregational chanting of the holy name. And ultimately when he went back to Vrindavan, he called all devotees from all over the world to come and to have kirtan around him. Even in his leaving his body, he was preaching the most glorious message of how to leave this world and give up one's life in perfect Krishna consciousness, surrounded by loving devotees chanting the holy names. Completely fixed, even in his last days, he was translating his books. Devotees were putting his little dictaphone microphone right to his mouth, and he could hardly whisper, but he was still preaching the glorious truth out of supreme compassion. Srila Prabhupada was personification of the spirit of compassion imbibed by Vasudev Dutt. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, in great love for his devotee, he said, "Krishna will certainly deliver the whole universe simply because of your desire. What is the difficulty for Krishna to deliver this universe? But you do not have to accept anyone's sinful reactions and go to hell. Why would Krishna do that to you?" Just like the Udambara tree, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fruits on that tree. And if one fruit falls, it will be no loss to the tree. Or just as if there was a big, big, big barrel of mustard seeds, and one mustard seed falls out, it will be no great loss to the barrel of mustard seeds. Similarly, this whole universe, if everyone goes back to Godhead by your desire, it is no loss to Krishna. And even if all the universes are all destroyed and go back and everyone goes back to Godhead, Krishna will be very satisfied. He is simply enjoying with his devotees in this spiritual world. And he sends the Vaishnavas, and sometimes he comes himself simply to call us all back home, back to Godhead, to the land of love and service. In this way, Vasudev Dutt exhibited this type of great, great compassion. In fact, today, by the Christian calendar, it is Easter Sunday. And Lord Jesus Christ also exhibited a type of compassion in this way. He voluntarily and willingly accepted crucifixion, terrible, terrible suffering, just to take the sins of his followers and deliver them. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas call him Lord Jesus Christ with great reverence and respect. But our Acharyas explain, Vasudev Dutt, he wanted to suffer hellish conditions for everyone in the universe forever. Srila Vasudev Dutt ki. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified his devotees, embraced his devotees, and then, with his permission, they all returned to Bengal. After they returned, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided to invite the Lord to his house for prasad. Because when the Bengali devotees were there for the whole 4 months, the Lord had so many invitations. There were not enough days to fulfill all his invitations to take prasad. Sometimes devotees 3, 4, 5 together would extend one invitation. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that all these devotees were gone. So he asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please come to my house for prasad every day for one full month. And Lord Chaitanya said, that is not possible. I am a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. I cannot come every day for a month. I can come one day in a month. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, then you come 20 days this month. And they started negotiating. So ultimately, Lord Chaitanya conceded to come 5 days. And he would generally travel with so many sannyasis. Whenever he would go for an appointment for prasad, he would bring at least 10 sannyasis with him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very clever. He said, actually, Paramananda Puri should come 5 days. And Swarup Damodar should come 4 days alone and 1 day with you. And the other 8 sannyasis should come 2 days each, and that gives you 5 days, but you should come alone. So in this way, 30 days were covered. So Lord Chaitanya accepted. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, come, begin today. This was in the morning. He said, all right, I will be there at noon. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his good wife began to cook. And they cooked so many wonderful, wonderful preparations. Krishnadas Kaviraj explained each and every preparation. And Srila Prabhupada says about Krishnadas Kaviraj, how he is describing each dish that was offered is the proof that Krishnadas Kaviraj was a very, very expert cook himself. And he knew the art of how to prepare and serve prasad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought him in and showed him the offering to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was amazed. There were big mountains of rice covered with very fragrant yellow golden ghee. And so many sabjis and cakes and sweets and chutneys and everything. Lord Chaitanya looked at with amazement. He said it would take 100 first-class Brahmin cooks and 100 stoves to cook this much prasad in the 6 hours that you had. How did you do it? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we did not do it.
The person who cooked this prasad is the person who will eat it.
In other words, you, Lord Chaitanya, you have cooked it.
It is by your power, by your mercy.
And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "All right, I see you have offered nice. Now you give me a small plate and I will take." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "No, my lord, you sit just where it is." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But this is Krishna's sitting place. One cannot use Krishna's sitting place." And Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard, one should never use the property of Krishna or the spiritual master, especially their sitting place. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya was trying to take the role of a devotee, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "If you're eating the prasad that Krishna ate, you can also sit in the place he sat. What is the difference?" So Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, what you say is correct." So to fulfill the desire of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sat down. And he said, "How do you expect me to eat so much?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "This is not much for you. In your form of Jagannath in the temple, you are eating 52 offerings a day, and each offering has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of big, big pots of bhoga. And in Dwarka, you are eating in 16,108 palaces at the same time every meal. And in Vrindavan, not only are you eating in the house of Nanda Maharaj, but you are eating in the house of all of his brothers, Nanda, Sunanda, Abhinanda, Upananda, and Nandanandana. And all of the brothers of Yashoda, and all of the other cowherd men, you are eating in all their houses, millions of houses. My lord, this is hardly a fraction of a meal for you. So you just kindly accept." Said, "You are now a sannyasi, so you are doing madhukari, so I'm giving you some small amount. Please accept my offering." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down to eat. And as he was eating, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in great, great happiness, was just bringing more and more and more. As soon as Lord Chaitanya would start to eat, he would just, as soon as one bowl got a little low, he would bring more. And meanwhile, the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a very, very pure and exalted devotee, was just continuing to arrange more and more preparations to be brought into Lord Chaitanya. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a son-in-law whose name was Amogha, and he was a rascal. He was very, very fond of blaspheming Vaishnavas. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't want him to come anywhere near Lord Chaitanya. So as he was serving prasad to Lord Chaitanya with one hand, he had a stick in his hand in the other to guard the door so that Amogha would not come in. But somehow or other, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became so much enraptured in serving the Lord, he forgot to guard the door. And at the least expected moment, Amogha ran in the room, and he pointed at Lord Chaitanya, and he said, "You call yourself a sannyasi? Look at how much food you are eating. Opulent food." And when he said that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became ferocious with anger and picked up a stick, and Amogha ran away. And Sarvabhauma ran after him, and they were running and running and running, and Amogha got away. And meanwhile, the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to pound with her fist, her head, and her chest, and she was praying, "May my daughter become a widow." And then Sarvabhauma returned. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Do not think anything of this. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was weeping and crying and falling at his feet and begging forgiveness. And his wife was begging forgiveness. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, no, what he said is correct. A sannyasi should not eat so much. He is helping me. But anyways, don't worry about this. It is not important. Just give me more prasad. So just to pacify Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, Lord Chaitanya ate large, large quantity of prasad. Whatever they gave him, he was eating more and more and more. And after satisfying Sarvabhauma in this way, Sarvabhauma, still he couldn't get it out of his heart that he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house, and in coming to his house, the Lord was blasphemed and offended. So Sarvabhauma followed Lord Chaitanya all the way back to his own home and was still falling at his feet, begging apologies. That night, Amoga contracted very severe and deadly disease called cholera. And the next day, he was literally on the verge of death, laying in his bed. And one of the devotees told Lord Chaitanya what had happened. And Lord Chaitanya immediately went right to the deathbed of Amoga. And with great compassion, he looked at him. And he said that you are the son of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you are dear to Krishna. And he placed his hand over the heart of Amoga. And he exclaimed that you are a Brahman, and the Brahman's heart is meant to be perfectly clean so it can be the sitting place for Lord Vishnu. How is it that you have allowed the contamination of envy to enter into your heart? Now, Amoga, rise and chant the holy names of Krishna. Upon hearing this instruction, Amoga got up and he started dancing in great joy with his arms raised, loudly calling out the holy names. Dancing and dancing and singing. And then he started bowing down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again and again. And he realized with his mouth he had blasphemed Lord Chaitanya. So he started taking his hands and slapping his mouth again and again and again and again. Lord Chaitanya stopped him. He said, with this mouth I have offended you. And you have saved me by your causeless mercy. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said to Lord Chaitanya, why didn't you let him die for the offense he had committed? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, because he is your son, and because he is dear to you, therefore by Krishna's causeless mercy he has been delivered. And now he has become completely purified. He has become a pure devotee of the Lord. And from that day on, Amoga became one of the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, constantly absorbed in great compassion and respect, and serving Vaishnavas and chanting Krishna's holy names. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.